Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Help! Feel the rhythm! Feel the rhyme! Wake up, everybody! It's Just Saying It time. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson, at Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter. We got the one, the only, the final day with him. Makes me sad, but you know what? It's a big surprise. Johnny Two Jobs, John Bellmer producing, but more importantly, we have a wonderful show for you. There is now blame on somebody that nobody refuses to take into consideration. I will be putting him into the driver's seat on full speed, letting him know why he is struggling. Is it time for the Miami Dolphins to give up on Tua Tagovailoa, who has been the biggest surprise quarterback in these past few weeks, and my NFL top 10? We're also going to break down a little bit of World Series preview. But guys, I want you to know that every single day I come on this show, I'm very thankful to have an audience like you. I'm very thankful to have people like you listening in every single day. Because at the end of it all, we're all just normal people with normal problems. We're just trying to get through life here and there. And the little things in life get you so far. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I've mentioned this enough, but I am in a fantasy football league with a couple of my buddies from high school. I have loved being in this. It's the way that we've stayed together and still stayed close over the last 8 years. And the biggest thing that we always do is we always have a rival. Mine is my friend Chris Chamberlain. He's a good man. He and I are best buds. We talk every single day. But the guy joined the league late, and he's already been the champion once. He's already gone to the finals twice, and I'm still waiting to get past the first round of the playoffs. So let's go ahead and break that down. Ladies and gentlemen, I am 0.8 points away from beating him for the first time in my career, and it feels so sweet. Because of all I heard throughout the entire week was, yeah, you have a loud mouth for carrying a little stick. Yep, you can't get past Big Thunder. Yep, you're always going to be beaten by Daddy. Well, Daddy got caught. Daddy's in trouble. And Cole Thompson is feeling on cloud nine because of needs DK Metcalf to get 0.3 points. As long as that happens. So DK Metcalf, do not let me down tonight. Please. Please do not let me down. I will name my next dog DK. Just if you get these 0.3 points. That's one catch for 10 yards. You get 1 point, 10 yards. I get 1.3 points, I walk away a winner. I'll be very happy with that. You know what? I think everybody in the league will be very happy as well.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
You know what I find funny more than anything else when I'm working is that people try to play it safe. Now, I don't always mean playing it safe in the sense of, oh, I'm just going to do these little things. I'm just going to go ahead and sit at home. I don't want to be dissolved or bothered by anything. Not like that. There's a lot of people out there like that. People who never take the risk to move outside of their hometown, outside of their own speed limit. There's a lot of people out there who don't go ahead and ever move past what they see in front of them. They're too afraid to go ahead and make a big decision, so they go ahead and play it safe. I'm not talking about those people. And that's fine if you're one of those people. I have nothing against you. But in my line of work today, there's always been like a certain level of people. There's certain numbers of people who don't want to ruffle any feathers, don't want to say anything controversial. And why is that? I can tell you. And it's very simple, if we're being honest. They don't want to lose their job, or more importantly, they don't want to make it sound like it's a hot take. But who would I be if I didn't just go ahead and live to the standard of what my show is called? Folks, you know what it's called. It's called Just Saying It. So let me go ahead and just say it. I'm tired of getting rid of the Patrick Mahomes stuff. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of us not going out of our way and actually admitting that Patrick Mahomes this season, let me preface that real fast, this season, a.k.a. 2021, is a problem for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not going to say for a second that I don't think that Patrick Mahomes is still a top 10 quarterback in the NFL based off talent. I'm not going to say that Patrick Mahomes is not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL based off of what he can do and what his attributes are. But let's be real for a quick second. Patrick Mahomes has been to two Super Bowls. He has played well, and I mean exceedingly well in one quarter. There's eight quarters in a Super Bowl. He's played well in one quarter. And yet we treat him because of the arm, because of the no-look pass, because of the spies and the demeanor and the way that he's able to cook up defenses. We treat him as if he's Tom Brady 2.0. Last I checked, Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowl rings. Patrick Mahomes has 1. And by the way, he got outplayed by a 43-year-old version of Tom Brady in the last Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you know, Tom Brady has the likes of Chris Godwin and Mike Evans.
You have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, well, they don't really have a stable run game out in Kansas City.
Well, I mean, let's be real. Outside of playoff Lenny, was the Bucs run game anything last year? We don't need to always use excuses. And guess what? I get it. Kansas City has a lot of problems. Their defense is askew. The wide receivers are dropping easy passes. They did not look the part of a team that feels like a playoff contender, let alone a playoff team, in a blowout loss 27-3 to the Tennessee Titans. Now, here's the good news. If you listen to Just Saying It, I said that Tennessee was going to beat the likes of Kansas City. I said that Tennessee was going to easily take on the likes of Kansas City. I did not think it was going to be this easy. I did not think it was going to be this big of a problem. Patrick Mahomes is ranked top 5 in passing touchdowns, in QBR rating, in passer rating, and in passing yards. He also leads the NFL in turnovers. How much longer are we going to admit that part of the problem this year is Patrick? And I get it. I understand. There's a lot more issues right there. You have wide receivers dropping balls. You have the defense allowing over 350 yards per game. They're unable to generate a pass rush. But in games such as these, where Ryan Tannehill is able to carve you up left and right, and Derrick Henry, by the way, Derrick Henry, all King Henry, doesn't even rush for 100 yards, you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem if that's the case. He averaged 5.9 yards per throw. Name the last time you heard that Patrick Mahomes averaging 5.9 yards per throw. His interception, the one that was picked up by Rashawn Evans, guys, I get it. It hit a receiver. It also was right into the hands of David Long, the linebacker who was playing in coverage. That ball was directed right at him, and the wide receiver actually made sure that ball didn't go the other way for a pick six. Instead, it bounced up in the air and into Rashawn Evans' hands. There's something off with Patrick this year, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. Yeah, guess what? He's able to zip it and zap it and bring it down low and throw it up high and make it look easy throwing the football. Nobody's going to deny that. Nobody's going to sit here and say, oh, well, he's having a bad year, but, you know, statistically, he's on pace to have one of his better seasons. I look at another statistic. I look at turnovers and how many of those turnovers are on you. Of the 9, you could argue that 2 or 3 are definitely against wide receivers. That doesn't mean that it's not on you as well. You can place the ball in a better spot. You can make sure that the ball is in a more neutral location. Heck, you can say that, you know, that the wide receiver, if you would have hit him in their chest or in their shoulder blade instead of trying to lead them straight out by 6, you know, by an extra 6 feet, maybe they would have been able to stop, get the first down, and go ahead and do it that way. There's a lot of ways you can go ahead and look at this. But there is one other way you can look at this. You play it safe. We can't blame Patrick Mahomes because he has so much upside, because of all the potential, because of what we've seen. Guys, again, he got outplayed by a 43-year-old Tom Brady, and he was a throw away from Jimmy Garoppolo hitting Emmanuel Sanders in stride from being 0-2 in Super Bowls. He's that close to being 0-2 in Super Bowls than being 1-1. And the only reason why he didn't lose that Super Bowl was because of stellar defensive play. What's the problem right now in Kansas City? Defensive play. I will 100% admit that. What's the other problem in Kansas City? Too many drops. What's the third problem in Kansas City? Patrick Mahomes' inconsistencies. I do not wish any ill will on the guy. I'm glad that he cleared concussion protocols. I'm glad that his injury was not as bad as it looks. But there's been a lot of problems right now in Kansas City. This is not a Kansas City team that looks promising. This is not a Kansas City team that looks like they have the upside. And guess what? I'll tell you right now, they're not on my top 10 this week. And I have no problem admitting that the biggest reason why is because of the inconsistent play of Patrick Mahomes. You have Patrick Mahomes playing like the patio Mahomes of 2020, 2019, they're still a top 10 team because they can win on any given Sunday. this version, this, I would go with, I don't want to really, I don't really care. This Kmart version of Patrick Mahomes, this Big Lots version, the one that's more so like a Cahomies, like something like that, that version, yeah, you ain't getting far. In fact, you're not going to the postseason. Imagine how people are going to lose their mind when they say Patrick Mahomes is not in the postseason. You think it's bad when Tom Brady didn't make it? Yeah, we live in a day and age where we feel afraid to say little things. What I just said, I would have been kicked off of most radio shows. You want to know why? Because they're afraid to say what's the truth. Patrick Mahomes is not the biggest problem, but he is not the answer this season in Kansas City. Get used to it. And you know who else is not the answer? And unfortunately, I have to do this. I don't want to. I really don't. But I take away looking at the Miami Dolphins game yesterday. I love Tua Tagovailoa. I will die on that hill. The fact that Tua Tagovailoa has done nothing wrong throughout his entire life. He was a good football player, and all he did was he suffered a near fatal career-ending injury, fought back, and looked to be the guy dragged by the Miami Dolphins will always give me hope. But I have to admit it. Tua doesn't have it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just Miami. I don't know if it can work somewhere else, and I truly hope it does. But the reports that Deshaun Watson is going to be on the move, the reports that Stephen Ross wants Deshaun Watson, you got to buy into it. I do not think that Tua Tagovailoa is the biggest problem right now in Miami, but he's not a solution. He's not. Patrick Mahomes can be a solution down the line. Justin Herbert, you know, the fact that he's been playing lights out does not help a situation. Deshaun Watson and knowing what his status has been throughout the NFL, guess what? It's promising. And you know what the reality is that if you didn't take Justin Herbert the one pick later, and if Deshaun Watson was not on the value and on the market, nobody would be batting an eye. They'd be saying, you know what? Tua right now is playing on a struggling team, but he had a career passing day. He had his best passing day. 4 touchdowns, nearly 300 passing yards, and a rating of over 100. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was 104. He averaged a pretty decent amount too. He wasn't struggling moving the football. He actually did a very good job playing the football and moving it on the ground. He actually was really good on third down. He actually stretched the play a lot. Yeah, passer rating of 109. Guy had a good day overall when you think about it. But those 2 interceptions, we put them underneath the microscope. We're going to throw them underneath the microscope time and time again. Why? Because of look at what Justin Herbert is doing one pick later out in Los Angeles. Look at what you could have with the likes of Deshaun Watson and what he was able to do last season with the limited supporting cast in Houston. The Texans had no business winning more than 1 game last year, and they won 4. That was because of QB play. So much so that the QB led the NFL in passing yards. Now again, what would I do? I would stick it out with Tua. And the only reason I would is because of I know for a fact that right now, Deshaun Watson's not getting me anywhere. Deshaun Watson is not getting me to the postseason. I'm a 1-6 team, and it's time for me to figure out what are the biggest problems. Is Tua one of them? And if so, okay, move off of him. But that's not the case how the NFL works. The NFL lets you know ahead of time when you're done. They let a lot of people know ahead of time when they said, oh, Tua's our quarterback. But they were still feeling around this entire offseason. They were feeling around right before the draft. They were feeling around all of NFL training camp, trying to see if maybe there was a deal in place. Knock, knock. Hey, Nick, can we go talk? Can we just go talk? I just want to talk. You never talk. It's never just talking. It's always leading to something. Tua can throw for 5,000 yards the remainder of the way, 4 interceptions against 35 touchdowns. The fact of the matter is that they don't believe Tua can get it done long term. And it's really hard to understand why not. It's very easy to understand why they think that, and it's getting hard to defend him. You can't make the interceptions like you did after the Xavier Howard pick. You can't make those kind of throws. You're too inconsistent with a deep ball, and on top of that, you're very limited passing across the middle of the field. You're a very stable quarterback, and Tua can win you football games. I have no doubt about it. I would love to see Tua in Washington. Is Washington 2-5? Probably not. They're actually more so, I would say, in my opinion, probably 4-3. Maybe they have 5 wins because Tua is at least doing a little bit more than Heineke. I would love to see him in New York. What about with the Giants? Daniel Jones is not the biggest problem, but I do think that Daniel Jones and Tua, they're right around the same level of play. Maybe they upgrade you. Maybe you get a few more wins. Maybe that's the case. Carolina. Look at what's happening with Sam Darnold. Imagine if Tua was in Carolina with that supporting cast. Bad offensive line, but a much better supporting cast. Everything, though, has to work. And the fact of the matter is that as long as the Deshaun Watson rumors are going to be on, and as long as we keep hearing, well, Justin Herbert at pick number 6 is killing it out west, it is going to be a problem. It's not going away over time. It's going to stick around for a hot minute. And unfortunately, it's starting to affect Tua. He won't admit it. He'll say that it wasn't a big deal. He'll say, nope, I can figure this out. It is. It is eating at you, dude. And it's okay. It's eating at a lot of people. Whether you like Deshaun Watson or not, you have to admit that Deshaun Watson is a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Tua's not. Whether you like Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers or not, you have to admit the Chargers are surging, and a lot of that's because of the quarterback play. I love Tua Tagovailoa. I will always love Tua Tagovailoa. But something has not clicked this far into his NFL career. And even though he has shown promise, he's also shown regression. At this point, you have to continue to show promise. It's the only way you survive in the NFL. And unfortunately, he's not. You know who is showing promise? The upside of the analytic people in baseball, because if they just got beat by 2 old school managers, let's talk about a preview of the World Series Game 1 right after this on Just Saying It.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life your battery has left? Let O'Reilly Auto Parts people help. The professional parts people will test your battery for free. And if it does need to be replaced, they'll find you the right one that fits your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day. So, what's incredibly funny to me is how people say analytics are the most important thing. How when you look at a certain situation in any single sport, you got to have this exact player for this exact situation. You have to be able to hit because if it's a success rate at this amount of percent, yada, 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 yada. Not saying analytics is not important. Analytics is very important to every single sport. And the way that the NFL and the way that MLB and the way the NBA and the way the NHL are moving, you have to be able to have some bit of analytics behind your work. Because at the end, let's look at this real fast. Every team that you're looking at that is successful is schematically planning, is schematically putting their team in the right situation to win. And it's why you see it all the time in the NFL. Offensive juggernauts are absolutely crushing it. Sean McVay's doing well. Kyle Shanahan, you really can't take out of a conversation ever, even though, you know, his quarterback is struggling. Kevin Stefanski, the way that he's been coaching and the way he's been play calling and play designing, it's absolutely crushing it. That's analytics. Brandon Staley talks about it literally every single press conference, looking at different angles and avenues. But sometimes just playing good sport actually wins you games in any sport. Sometimes just a team being hot at the right moment is the difference about someone playing for a championship and somebody heading home early. And that's the case with the Atlanta Braves. Brian Stickner has been around the Braves organization for 30 plus years. He has watched his team from top to bottom go to a World Series and fizzle flat. He has been a part of a World Series. He has also been a part of an organization working his way up from double-A ball to triple-A ball to back down to single-A ball to rookie ball all the way back up to triple-A before becoming the Braves manager. And instead, Alex Anthopoulos of falling flat, because the Braves GM got full permission to go full swing fixing the Braves outfield, an outfield that at one point featured Marcell Ozuna, one of the biggest power bats in the game, and Ronald Acuna Jr., a superstar MVP caliber player every single year. Losing both, one for different reasons, one for very neglected, very gross reasons, the other one due to injury. They went out and they fixed the outfield, and the outfield played a big role. Here was what Stickner had to say about the outfield. It was very simple. get me guys who can play. Get me players who I can work with and get me guys who can play. Let's see, Adam Duvall, one of the biggest hitters throughout the entire NLCS. Let's see, Eddie Rosario, the hero. I don't know. You ever heard of game two walk-off? Yeah, remember what happened last time at Truist Park? What happened in this game? A three-run homer that actually propelled the Dodgers to a victory in game six of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Talk about what Atlanta did there. And again, guys like Jorge Soler, who is a great power bat, even though he's not playing. Oh, and by the way, let's add one more. Jock Peterson, the platoon guy, the fourth man. Because they went and they said, I want players who can play baseball. That's all I care about. They're not playing in the World Series. Guess what? You look at the analytics for the Dodgers. Well, you know, we have this guy who's really playing good defensive baseball. We have this guy who's playing really good offensive baseball. Our offensive metrics say that we need to play the offensive guy over the defensive guy. Well, think about that. His name was Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux, I have no doubt, is going to be a very successful player in the MLB. I have no doubt about that. But the guy made a grand total of 11 plays in center field at one point, and then you allow him to go and muff a play out in Los Angeles that allows two runs to score. But offensive analytics say that we got to play him because of his bat's more valuable than his defense. At times, yeah, it is. At other times, no, it's not. Again, the players that are just here to play, that sometimes gets you the win. That sometimes gets you exactly where you need to be. Let's look at it at the Astros' perspective. The Astros are not an analytics team. They were for a hot minute. Jeff Luno was all about it. AJ Hinch, one of the more scheming managers in baseball, was all about it. You know what Dusty Baker is? He's old school. He's going to tell you, get the best bats in there, get the best lineup out there. We're going to go ahead and work pound-for-pound pitching matchups. I'm going to let my starter go through adversity, and I'm not going to go to my bullpen too early. And sometimes it's cost him some wins. Guess what? This time around, no, it didn't. Game six, big-time victory, 5-0, I think it was the final on that one. 5-0 over the Boston Red Sox. And by the way, this was a surging Boston Red Sox team. They had one of the more potent offenses, and thanks to pitching, thanks to really good bullpen pitching, I may add, the weak point of Houston all season. The weak point of Houston. Absolutely. Everyone criticized them. The weak point of Houston all season ended up playing a catalyst hero in a big-time victory. Yordan Alvarez in his game five, his success, that played a big role. Kyle Tucker and his big two-run homer late in the game to seal it up, that played a big role. There was a lot of good and positives for this Astros team. But guess what? It wasn't analyticals. It was just get the best nine players out there. Let's put ourselves in situations to win. And we are going to find a way to continue to play good baseball. The two hottest teams in baseball at the end of the season, I mean, at the start of the postseason, were the Houston Astros and the Atlanta Braves. There was one more team. It was the St. Louis Cardinals. They were on a 17-game winning streak to close out the year. And guess what happened? They had to go all the way down to the bottom of the ninth with two outs and one on for Chris Taylor to hit a walk-off two-run homer to send the Dodgers to the NLDS. You don't think for one second that if St. Louis would have won that game, they would have stayed hot? They maybe could have swept the likes of San Francisco? Anybody think that? And then how different this playoff could have been? That's how good St. Louis was playing baseball. That's how good the Astros were playing baseball. That's how good the Braves were playing baseball. The Braves, they didn't even worry about it. They just said best matchup on matchup. Okay, we got a lefty going on. We are going to go pound for pound, getting some lefties in there. We got a righty in the mound. Yeah, we're gonna mess with them. We're gonna mess with this head. They went up against, in my opinion, the best pitching staff in baseball this season in the Milwaukee Brewers, and they made mincemeat out of them. It wasn't even close. It wasn't even a good series. They had one good game, and outside of that, Atlanta controlled the clock. Same thing with Houston. Houston just said, we're going to put the best bats out there, and we're going to win. Guess what happened? That's exactly what they did against Chicago. That's exactly what they did against Boston. Brian Stickner and Dusty Baker are two of the oldest managers in baseball, and they're hard-nosed, old-school style of coaches. They don't care about the analytics. They care about getting the best results. So today, there's hope to say that analytics loses to old-school baseball.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Well, as I do every Monday, depending on the certain one, I go through my top 10 rankings. Now, 9 times out of 10, people always go, well, how can you get your top 10 rankings in when you don't know who wins Monday Night Football? Because 9 times out of 10, I'm either going to move this team up one spot or down one spot, or they're not listed at all. Tonight's game, of course, is against the New Orleans Saints and the Seattle Seahawks, and I'll tell you right now, if New Orleans were to win, they still would not be in my top 10. Seattle definitely is not in my top 10. So I feel very comfortable doing that. So let's go ahead and rank my top 10 teams after Week 7 in the NFL. Here we go. So before I do anything, I want to give two honorable mentions because I do think that these teams are good. I just think that right now I can't put them this high. Number one is the Cleveland Browns. They're not healthy, but they still found a way to beat the likes of the Denver Broncos. And on top of that, they are still a team that I think defensively is finding its rhythm and finding some consistency. I really like that Case Keenum was able to come in and lead the charge. This offensive line from top to bottom, depth behind it as well is very good. And as long as the defensive production can slowly turn around and find more consistency, I'm not worried about this team. I'm not at all. I think Case Keenum can get you wins. I'd rather Baker Mayfield out there. I've said that time and time again. Same thing with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, but they can get you wins. The other team, they're on a bye this week, so you didn't get to see them play, and that was part of the reason they're not inside my top 10. It's the Chargers. I still like the Chargers. I think defensively, they have some woes in the secondary. I do think that the linebacker position without Kenneth Murray, they're struggling a little bit, but they're generating a pass rush. They're doing well on the offensive line, and Justin Herbert is killing it. He absolutely is crushing it, which, again, is why we talk so little about Tua Tagovailoa and give him more of a pedestal, because if he is crushing it still with a brand new head coach and a new system. Now that we got that out of the way, number 10. Welcome to the party, Cincinnati Bengals. I cannot believe I have to say this. I cannot believe I have to actually do this bant. I do not believe that this is actually happening. This is a nightmare and I cannot wake up. But the reality is that Cincinnati is a playoff contender. They are. We have to start treating them seriously. A 41-17 victory behind the likes of a 3-touchdown day from Joe Burrow. Passes for over 416 yards. Guys, this is still a very decent secondary in Baltimore. It's not like they just fell apart. This is still a very overall decent secondary with Marcus Peters, who I know is having a down year, Marlon Humphrey, who still is an all-pro, and they have a very good number three cornerback in Jimmy Smith. They averaged 8.3 yards per play. They picked up 19 first downs. They were better on third down converting. They had one more conversion on fourth down. And they did more with less. 63 plays, 520 yards against 71 plays, 393. They limited the likes of Lamar Jackson and guys who I thought were going to be very much of high risk and high potential bust, such as DJ Reader in free agency, such as Sam Hubbard this past year, Trey Hendrickson, the big-time pass rusher from New Orleans. They've been crushing it. They've all done a very good job. Defensively, they're playing strong. Offensively, they're finding some consistency. Ja'Marr Chase is an absolute beast. I don't want to hear anybody ever backlash that man again. He is absolutely destroying the NFL very early on. Cincinnati comes in at number 10. I know I got long-winded on Cincinnati, so I won't spend a lot of time on some of the other ones. Number 9, Las Vegas Raiders. Is it me or were the Raiders being held back by John Gruden? Is it me or was Derek Carr's actual biggest crutch the fact that he had to work with John Gruden as his head coach? Guy goes 31-34 passing, averages 9.5 yards per throw. Once again, one of the higher ratings this season. He finished with a passer rating of 113.6. One throw was an overshot. One throw was an interception. One throw was an underthrown ball. Besides that, flawless performance. Flawless. They were able to run the ball efficiently with Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake. Josh did get hurt, I'll give him that, but they still were able to get over 100 yards rushing. Foster Moreau looked very good as a number two tight end. Ryan Edwards showed up as a more possessional receiver. Surprisingly, Henry Ruggs had a quiet day. He actually did not go balls to the wall, as he always does, with the 23.5 yards per reception. But what I really liked was the way the defense played. This is at least a decent offensive line. Not a great offensive line, but a decent offensive line. They were able to pressure Jalen Hurts consistently. Hurts did throw for 2 touchdowns, but he did struggle at times. And he wasn't able to really move the ball at efficient level. They held them to 135 rushing yards. And by the way, Miles Sanders, the guy they were trying to get involved into the game, was held to an average of 5 yards per carry because he only ran the ball 6 times. This is a defense that's playing well. This is an offense that's clicking. And more importantly, they have a very good quarterback in Derek Carr. They come in for me at number 9. Number 8, the Tennessee Titans. Titans are good. Hate to say it. They're boring. They're blah. There's not a lot really pizzazz there. But they're winning games. They are good. That is what matters. A big 27-3 victory over the likes of the Kansas City Chiefs. This comes behind the stellar play. Honestly, really good stellar play from Ryan Tannehill. 21-27 passing. Averages 10 yards per throw. Did have an ugly interception. I will give him that. But they trusted him to lead the pack. They trusted him on third down. And they trusted him to make a lot of plays with his arm. Derrick Henry averaged 3 yards per run. But he also made one throw for a touchdown pass, which was awesome, and it hurt me in fantasy, so, you know, I got to give a lot of credit there. Defensively, they did a very good job, which is this thing that I worried about them. They only allowed them to convert 4 times on third down. Compare that to a 75% success rate on the flip side for Tennessee. They were able to get 3 turnovers on the day, so they win the turnover battle, and they also were beaten, and they also owned time and possession. Those are all things I think are successful that you need. This is a team that's sitting at 6-2. And guess what? 5-2. My bad. 5-2. They're sitting at 5-2. And honestly, they're a game away from sitting at 6-1. They're a game away of playing more consistent against the New York Jets from being 6-1 on the year. This is a very good team. They're a very boring team, but they're a very good team. Number 7, the Baltimore Ravens. I get it. They lost the Cincinnati Bengals. I just said Cincinnati is a team that I feel has all the rhythm and all the consistency right now. They're proving to be contenders. I still like Baltimore. Baltimore, to me, is still a very efficient team. Lamar Jackson still was not able to get completely figured out. 257 passing yards. Averaged 8.3 yards per throw. Had a beautiful deep ball to Marquise Brown. One of the better deep balls of the day. Led the team on the ground with 88 rushing yards and 7.3 yards per play. So he's still dangerous. You still can't find a way to stop him. You still can't find a way to move him on the ground. So if as long as he's able to do that, well, guess what? There's going to be a threat. They're getting healthier at the right moment. Rashad Bateman had a very good day. He averaged 26.7 yards per catch. You're going to want to remember that name. Marquise Brown having a very solid day. Mark Andrews having a very solid day. And defensively, they were able to get one interception against Burrow. They got to get a little bit more clean on the back end, but overall, I still like Baltimore as a playoff team if it were to go today. Number 6, Dallas Cowboys. Dallas didn't play this week, so I can't really move them up, but at the same time, I don't really feel like I have to. Dak Prescott's playing at an MVP-like level, and on top of all of that, they have very good receivers, and they're playing consistent football defensively. They are adding one of the more pressures in the NFL, and they're actually, I think at least they were last week, leading the league in yards per play consistently, 7.7 yards per play. Basically, every other play was a first down, whether it be on the ground from Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, whether it be through the air through Dak Prescott, whether it be Amari Cooper, Cedric Wilson, CeeDee Lamb. There's a lot of potential and a lot of good in Dallas. I would like to see how he looks, and by he I mean Dak Prescott, after this bye week, now that he is playing healthy. Hopefully the MRI comes back good. He's not going to miss any time. This is going to be a very big week ahead for them. But I do like Dallas. They are a very consistent and complete team from top to bottom. I just think that if I was to go into today's playoffs, there's a few teams in the NFC that I would like a little bit more. Because coming in at number 5 for me are the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay's legit. Remember that game against New Orleans week 1 where Aaron Rodgers was just kind of lost and all that? Yeah, that's gone. Yep, we don't have to worry about that. And I get it. Washington has a lot of problems right now. But a 24-10 victory, 3 touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers. The offensive line needs a little bit of work, not going to lie. But the team as a whole, they averaged 6.8 yards per play. They were able to get, I believe, 2 turnovers on the day. And even though that they were out yardage by over 100, they were able to make the most of their time. 2-for-4 inside the red zone versus 0-for-4 against the likes of Washington. Defensively, they made some marquee plays. If you get healthy at the right time, adding back in a guy like Jaire Alexander, I think you'll be okay. They come in for me at number 5. Number 4 is the Los Angeles Rams. I want to put Los Angeles higher. I think Matthew Stafford had a very good day. I think that when you look top to bottom, there was a lot of good plays to be had. But you're going up against the Lions. They're 0-6 for a reason. And you almost lose the game. You almost allowed Jared Goff to come back into SoFi Stadium, into SoFi Stadium, in front of fans, and get the upset win. It almost happens. It did it. I'll give you that, but it almost happened. That's testament that there are some concerns defensively. That's testament that there is a little bit of concerns when it comes to the offensive line. That shows that there's a testament when it comes to moving the ball. They struggled running the football. I will give them that. They only had 47 yards rushing, and they averaged 2.2 yards per play. But Matthew Stafford absolutely crushed it with his arm. 334 passing yards, a passer rating of 117, and he averaged 8.1 yards per throw, 3 touchdowns versus 0 turnovers. That plays a monumental factor in this game when you look at the 2 turnovers by Goff. They get the win, but I don't think that they're right now the best team to beat inside the NFC. Because coming in at number 3... No, you know what? I'm going to switch it. I am this week. I am. Buffalo comes in for me at number 3. Buffalo's a very good team. And if I had to say right now the postseason were to start today, they would be the number 1 seed. Josh Allen's having a resurgent year. He's picking up the pieces where he left off. Defensively, they've really impressed. Offensively as a whole, they still are a very good team. I would like to see them run the ball a little bit more. I get it. It's still the biggest problem. But overall, when you look from top to bottom, this is the most complete team in the AFC. They're averaging the most yards per play. Josh Allen is limiting his turnovers. They're finding ways to win inside the red zone. You're seeing marquee names really step up this year and play bigger roles on both sides of the football. Guys like Boogie Basham, guys like Gregory Rousseau, guys like Dawson Knox at the tight end, Emmanuel Sanders in the slot, Cole Beasley having a good year as a third down receiver. Lots to like about this Buffalo Bills team. I think the most complete team in the AFC. Number 2 is Tampa Bay. Listen, I get Chicago's having some issues. Chicago right now is a mess, and it's not just Justin Fields. It's not just coaching. There's a lot of things going wrong there. But you're not beating Tom Brady. And I don't know really who right now can beat Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is legit. 4 touchdown passes, a passer rating of 109.3, 211 yards. And guys, you got to see Blaine Gabbert come in. You got to see Blaine Gabbert come in against a playoff team from last year. They're moving the ball on the ground. Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette each had over 60 rushing yards. One had a touchdown. They each averaged over 5.4 yards per throw. Mike Evans is legit. 3 touchdowns on the day. Give it up for him. And Brady hits a milestone. He does. Defensively, they're able to hold Justin Fields to 3 turnovers. And on top of all that, they're also able to hold him to an average of under 200 passing yards on the day. They weren't able to run the ball efficiently. This was a long, hard-fought battle for Tampa Bay. They move into my number 2 spot. But number 1, no surprise, I have to put them in there. They're the only undefeated team left, and at this point, what else can I say about them? It's the Arizona Cardinals. And I get it. Playing against the Houston Texans, not really one of these things that people are going to go say, oh, well, you know, it's Houston. They're a bad team. They are, but Kyler Murray's just so dang good. He did have an interception, but he averaged 9.3 yards per throw. He had 3 passing touchdowns. The team as a whole absolutely crushed it. They averaged 5.8 yards per throw compared to 3.3 for Houston. They picked up more first downs, triple the amount of Houston, 24 versus 8. They were 50% on third down conversions. They were 1 of 1 on third down conversions. They made the most of their 69 plays, 370 yards, and they held and limited Houston to under 200 yards of total offense on the day. They're playing consistent defensively. They have a lot of weapons galore. Rondell Moore, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins. The list goes on and on and on in Arizona, and Kyler Murray is having an MVP-like season. If you were to ask me today, who do I think would be in the Super Bowl, I would tell you from the AFC, it's easily Buffalo. They feel like the most complete team. And bearing on what I've seen right now from Arizona, the hottest team in the NFL, the biggest surprise on the positive side in the NFL, it would be hard to pick against Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, and this resurgent Red Sea offense. They have it. My top 10 teams from Week 7 of the NFL right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
So let's go ahead and talk about one of the more important quarterbacks in the NFL this season. And I think that's funny because of a lot of people give him slack. And I'm not going to say that he has not been perfect, because he hasn't. But I do have to admit that Carson Wentz so far this year has impressed me in more ways than one, especially when you're playing in a monsoon type weather that you saw out west in Santa Clara. That's hard to do for even the best of quarterbacks. And Carson Wentz, he did have two fumbles. I will give him that. One's an interception. Let's just call it what it is. It's an interception. He flung the ball forward, and they just said, oh, well, it was forward contact, so that means it's a fumble, not an interception. He had an interception, but he got his team through adversity. When the rain was pouring down, he didn't give up. He put his body on the line, something that I think a lot of people were like, dude, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. To rush for a touchdown, to take the 13-12 lead in the start of the, at the end of the second quarter, going into halftime, finished with a passer rating of 106.2, two passing touchdowns for 150 yards, scored another one on the ground. Really good big-time play to the likes of Michael Pittman deep downfield in coverage to get that extra cushion lead. You got to appreciate that. And now Indianapolis is sitting at 3-4 after starting the year off 0-3. So they're moving in the right direction. Wentz has one interception on the year. He has played more consistent this season than we've probably seen from him in the past 2 years. I'm not here to say that he was the biggest problem in Philadelphia, but he definitely was not as bad as people made him out to be. Maybe I do add him to the right offense. Guess what? They added him to Frank Reich's offense, and now Indianapolis is clicking on all cylinders.